good evening. It is Intuitive Soul with your host, Lori Houston, and it is January, so we are still doing New Year's resolutions and looking at things, and always, I know you guys already know this, but I get very excited when I have somebody in the studio, and so tonight we have Joshua Zuchter, and Joshua has come on the show. We did a show last year that was on resolutions, looking at the what we did last year and then what we're going to projections into this year, and we're sort of going to do something similar. So it was a great show last year, and I know we got a lot of great information and helpful hints and tips, and you know, Joshua is a really cool coach. I think, you know, a lot of people really appreciate the way he can connect with people. And I know that, you know, in the beginning, you know, when I was talking to this guy, like in the beginning, and he was telling me some of the things, and I'm like, I'm not getting it. But, you know, this year, well, near the end of last year, I really got it. So I'm looking forward to having this conversation because I think we're going to go somewhere. So welcome, Joshua.
Thanks very much.
So, what are we, let's talk.
Sure. Well, I know that part of the description for this was that this was going to be about New Year's deliberate intentions.
Yes.
Which is slightly different from the concept of New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. And it's actually quite a controversial topic these days, because most people have, and if you're listening, you probably have tried or created resolutions and likely did not follow through on them, or at the end of the year realize that's bogus, none of them worked, I tried everything I could, it didn't happen, and then we give up.
Yeah.
And we say, I am never going to, and the new year comes, I'm never going to do New Year's resolutions again, forget it. Mm-hmm. And even when we hear people talk about them, we turn it off, we don't even want to hear about it. So the concept of deliberate intention is different to a certain degree, in that the idea behind it is that it's meant to be a guideline. Resolutions, the concept of resolution means resolve, resolute, iron, must be, has to. Mm. And that's actually part of the flaw in New Year's resolutions in the first place, in that they make it's such a, in order to achieve whatever that is, we're so tight with ourselves that we squeeze ourselves out of even achieving it. So that's one aspect to it. So we're going to actually do a bit of a review, a very short review,
okay. But
spend more of our time focusing on 2010.
Cool.
Yeah. So, now typically, and last year we had a list of 10 questions, and then we had 8 for review. And then we also had 8 questions for projection. So I have 3 questions, that I want to share that are significant as a review. And then we're going to go into some other items in an article and so on that will help us to see things in a different light, shift our perspective. For some people, it'll be a whole paradigm shift. And we're all going to do that in 45 minutes.
Wow. So, <yeah. laughs>
you know me, go big or go home, right?
I know.
So actually what I recommend is if you're listening in that you, whether it's a recording or you're listening live, is that you actually pull out a calendar.
Cool.
Okay. And this is a really different concept. In fact, I wrote this as one of my e-zine articles, and it's a fresh perspective on New Year's deliberate intentions.
Nice.
So the idea behind New Year's resolutions is you have a whole year to achieve this, whatever it is that you're wanting, whether it's losing weight, going on a candida cleanse, whether it's you know, increasing wealth and prosperity, investing in real estate for the first time, spiritual growth, enhancing your intuitive side, improving a relationship. We've heard all of these things before, but we rarely actually follow through for a full year. And what happens, I find the greatest challenge is that we start on it. This, I think, would be the most significant reason why we don't continue with resolutions. We continue on with it. We do great for about a month or 2 months. And then all of a sudden, something happens and we get derailed, or we derail ourselves.
Right.
And then we say, ugh, forget it.
Yeah.
I'm done. You know?
Yeah, I don't know that those are the first words out of our mouth, but right. That might not be appropriate
True. More swearing ensues. That's true. And so this is an alternative, and it's a really neat concept where instead of creating year-long goals or resolutions, you actually create monthly resolutions.
Okay.
Or intentions. Intentions. That's right. Okay, we'll stay away from resolutions. Stay with us. Don't hang up. Don't go away. And so what you do is we actually choose every month would be a different focus. And you mix it up.
Cool. Okay.
And it's a really neat way to spice things up. You're not locked into a year's worth of, you know, focusing on three items. This way you can use each month over the 12 months to work on something different.
Right.
You see, it's kind of a neat way of doing it.
I was just thinking that, you know, if you knew numerology or you knew astrology and you knew which months were better for weight or which months were better for diet,
brilliant.
You know, that would, you'd be able to fit it in that way. That'd
be
really cool.
Should write a
book on this. Oh, we should.
So here are some areas that that I recommend writing down. These are 12 areas, and actually 11 in a bonus area, which
nice.
Is, but these are the main typical areas of most people's lives, especially if you're listening to this show, likely these apply to you.
Right.
Okay. So we've got money, prosperity, and finances. Obviously that's one, a big one these days, as it is most years for everyone.
Well, it's big this year. I mean, it's big this year because last year was such a nightmare because it was, there's so much fear in associated with the planet, and you know, like the Matrix was just so full of fear with regards to finances that
absolutely
it's pretty much impacted everybody.
Absolutely. And the other, I mean, all the talk about 2012, who knows what's going to happen then, you know,
trust me, nothing's going to happen.
Right. We will continue to evolve, right?
Yes, we will still be here. There will be some things that happen, but you know, for the people that do their work, they're not going to be in those places when those things happen.
Right. So there's, so money, prosperity, finances is one. And definitely feel free to write these down and grab your calendar because we're going to work through that together. The next one is romance, love, and intimacy, which these days is very interesting. I find a lot of people are actually, if you're not married, happily married, most people are single and staying single.
It's true. It's a new phenomenon. This is just new.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Even those that have been single for years are now, in a way, deciding, I'm just going to stay single for now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something going on there. So we want to, though, bring in romance, love, and intimacy because you can still practice that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to put that in the list. And we'll talk a bit more about that as we go. Spirituality, of course. These are in no particular order.
Right. Okay? Right. Right.
Spirituality is my number one, but may not be for others. Social connections. I find that these days, because people are lessening the desire or craving for a relationship romantically, more people are turning to friendships.
Sure.
And with Facebook, I couldn't believe it. 5,000. You're so popular. 5,000 friends on Facebook.
You know what I think it is? I think it's because I have a picture with me and my cat. You know, like they think, oh, she's got to be really cute.
Put it on the cat. Yeah. I don't know about that, but we'll take it. We'll take it for today. Another one is family. Another significant one. The next one, physical health, nutrition, and fitness. I think everyone is now turning to that. It's now at the forefront.
Well, it is. And I think it's, you know, it's because of the stress in our lives. If we don't have some way to get rid of it.
Yes.
It manifests in your body like candida.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and you know, I shouldn't be able to be saying that because I do a power walk every day, like almost 8 kilometers. So, you know, why it happens, who knows? But yes.
Absolutely. Another area would be fun. I just call it fun.
Hmm.
I know. Yeah, fun. What is that?
What is that?
Well, on Earth is fun. I've never heard. Is that like from another planet?
Yeah.
And so this
fun is listening to us talk.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I'm going to go home and listen after, actually. Fun is things. For example, it was about 5 or 6 years ago, and I decided that I wanted to do something different every year that I had never done that I've always wanted to.
Yeah.
So I started taking archery. Found this amazing teacher of archery in Caledon. He charges like $40 for an hour and a half. He's like probably one of the top people in Canada to teach it.
That's cool.
He's a coach of the Ontario team.
Nice.
And so every summer I'll now go and spend time with him, you know, having fun with archery. So
and how's your elbows?
They're good, actually. You wear it. You know, the funny part is you actually are supposed to be wearing a protective cover on your arm, on your forearm, so you don't get, so it doesn't slap you, you know?
Yeah.
So I have never been bruised, but I've heard of some people having a really difficult time. So.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we were never taught that when I did camp. And for some reason, there was one year that I actually got to teach archery. Like, like, seriously?
Were there moving targets?
Yeah. Kids.
Moving kids. Exactly. That's right.
But I have to tell you, my elbow, I don't know what
That must have been.
Well, and you know, your elbow's not supposed to be sticking out.
No, that's true.
It's supposed to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good instruction.
I was not a good teacher.
Good instruction. That's what you need. That's the key.
Those poor kids.
I know. So fun, an area like that. The next one is personal growth. I think every single person listening to this show is interested in personal growth. Interestingly enough, I find there's some kind of trend going on in Ontario or Canada. People are overloaded with personal growth. And so workshop attendance is way down. And people are hesitant, I think also because a lot of workshops, speakers try to sell as much as they can at the workshop. So,
that's true.
You know, so finding really rich content and authentic, someone who's really promoting their workshop for authentic reasons, I think is really important to keep, you know, keep engaged and engage your own personal growth. So that is here. That's another area. Another one is mental development, focus, and clarity. That's key. We don't usually think about that area. This actually may be one of the most important areas, believe it or not. The next one is emotional development and releasing. Learning how to let go of emotion, learning how to deal with emotion, taking courses about emotion, I think is so important because we are typically emotional. You know, the saying, we're spiritual beings living a human experience. I think it's probably better to say we're spiritual beings living an emotional experience. And we all experience emotions, whether we're conscious of them or not. And so it's really, I think it's really important to learn how to deal with our emotions. Right. Males especially have the hardest time because they've been taught through society and culture and practice to keep the emotions down. So that's why you see all these young guys, males, in rage and anger and, you know, violence. So the next one would be space and environment. So your actual physical space, that would be your home and office.
Right.
Okay, that's key. And so that's 11.
Right.
So we've gone through 11. The last one is, I call this a bonus one. You can pick whatever area, other area we haven't touched on. So I'm going to offer three examples of areas just in case. And they include time. So somehow mastering time, working with time. The other could be travel. Okay. Whether even that's a road trip or going to meditate on a hill, if you're in Ontario going up, you know, going, you know, up to an hour north or 2 hours. Or the third possibility is image, dealing with your image. And that's actually quite significant. We don't realize how much that impacts our world around us.
Sure.
So, yeah. So those are the 12 areas. So I recommend writing those down, having your own 12 areas, and then deciding how you want to work with these and putting them in an order for the year and choose 1 month for each area. So you can imagine, let's say we decide right now, and now we're already in mid to late January. So January is almost already gone. And so I would typically assume February is the best month for romance, as it's talked about so much on Valentine's Day. You might as well, you know, maximize on the, on the promotion that occurs, and on the opportunities and so on. And so then I recommend going through your calendar, seeing what other events are happening during the year. April is usually a time for Easter, Passover, and so on. And there are other times. So I recommend going through and seeing what you can fit into each time.
Right.
Family might be December.
Yeah.
Because you you deal with family a lot in that time. Yeah. Or if you want to switch it up, bring that into another month where you don't normally do that. And that makes it a priority.
Right.
You see? So you can have fun with this. Now, I want to share, this is a really fun thing. I write a newsletter, a weekly newsletter called Be Inspired.
Nice.
It actually was a weekly newsletter that was coming out once every 3 months.
Right, okay.
So now it's coming out every week. So it's now returned.
Cool.
Recently I had this absolutely hysterical concept that came to me, and it's two-page article. I'm going to read it.
Awesome.
For you listening in. And if you'd like a copy, you're welcome to contact either of us and we'll get it to you. It's called What Would Your Life Look Like Beyond Your Comfort Zone?
Mm.
Okay. And this is absolutely pertinent to New Year's deliberate intentions.
Absolutely.
Because there's a saying that if we always do what we've always done, we'll always get what we've always got.
Yeah. Well, what's the definition of insanity?
Exactly.
Doing the same things all the time and expecting a different outcome.
Exactly. That's right. And so the thing is that we often will look back and say, you know, my year was crappy, or my year didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. And I would ask you, why? What actions did you take to make it different? And some would say, did you go out of your comfort zone to change it? So this is my response. Okay. And in some situations, you may actually need to have the physical copy, because what you're about to hear is a bit unusual.
Okay.
And it may require hearing it a couple times before you actually get it. Now, I just want you to know that when I wrote this, there was no editing at all. It went straight through.
Nice.
Okay. And I was laughing the entire time, hysterically, while I was typing it. So I'll just read it off as it came. So if you read last week's issue of Be Inspired, you likely remember the notion of replace your resolutions with monthly ones. You can read about it by going to my site. Today, I'd like to offer a very helpful alternative to the concept of going outside of your comfort zone, quote unquote comfort zone. Remember the quote unquote. Okay, that's going to be significant for this article. You see, the concept of going outside of your comfort zone or boundaries is flawed when you consider that comfort is measured in terms of degrees of least comfortable to most comfortable.
Mm.
This means there is no real way to even escape your comfort zone, as your comfort zone also includes your discomfort zone.
Right.
Isn't that real? I may laugh hysterically through this. This may be difficult for me to read without cracking up. Take a moment to soak that in and put on your funny bib, as today's edition of Be Inspired may be quite a hoot. I actually wrote that. Here's an example that might help. Think of speaking publicly in front of a group of people. Let's say that on a scale of 1 to 100, with 100 being the highest degree of comfort, you rank yourself at a 1. Essentially, you would rather eat mud before speaking in front of people. Now, technically speaking, although you're at a 1, there is still room to grow to increase to a higher number. In other words, you are still, quote unquote, in your zone between right. 1 and 100. Technically, you are still in your comfort-discomfort zone.
Right.
See how this has been flawed from the beginning?
Yes.
I know, and we all bought into it. So there's a common saying, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And this is quite true, and many would say to, quote unquote, get something, to create a different outcome, in other words, you must go out of your comfort zone. Now, knowing that you can never escape your comfort zone, we must come up with a more effective option.
Mm.
Okay. Hope you're seated for this. Okay. So here's the magical alternative, and one that will release you from ever having to fret about going or not going outside of your comfort zone ever again. Rather than looking at going outside of your comfort zone to create a different outcome, I propose going outside of what you're used to zone.
Okay. And he did put little quotations right. around that.
Thank you for mentioning that. I'm doing it here. I didn't even think to say it. What you're used to zone, spelled WHATURUSEDTO. What you're used to zone. The what you're used to zone is very different from comfort zone in that it is not about degree of comfort. It is about what you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is going to take a little bit, but as you get this is absolutely profound. Yeah. You're likely used to brushing your teeth, getting dressed, going to work, and in most cases don't want to change these things, right? But in the cases of dating the same type of people with poor success or not great success, making the same amount of income each year, driving the same route to work each day, you may want something more but have not yet done anything about it. Instead of trying to go out of your comfort zone by trying, you know, lava life or investing in real estate or taking a more dangerous route to work one day, you can simply do something that is not what you're used to.
Okay.
So it just changes the mental perspective of where we're coming at from this. The difference is that you can now easily know what you're, quote unquote, what you're used to, as quote unquote, what you're used to can be measured instantly. Instantly.
Hmm.
If you have never spoken in front of a group of people before, then it is easy to see that speaking in front of a group of people would be outside of your what you're used to zone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The key, though, is in the focus. So traditionally, you would have put a ton of pressure on yourself to step outside of a quote-unquote comfort zone, which you now know is technically not possible. Which is also why there was so much fear about doing that.
Hmm.
But stepping outside of what you're used to zone is so much simpler, as it involves simply doing something you've never done. Even a small little thing that you've never done. Meaning there is much less pressure and at the same time a different outcome.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I know, it'll take a little bit more to go through. To take this up, and I've only gone through one page, it's two. To take this up a notch, let's explore the question, are you used to speaking in front of a group of people? The answer is either yes or no. Either yes, Joshua, I'm used to speaking in front of people, or no, and there's no way you'll get me used to it, or no, I've only done it a few times, I'm not used to it yet. Now we can see where you are in terms of quote unquote what you're used to, as you're either at a yes, something that you are used to, or a no, something you're not used to. And by the way, we are not removing the measure of comfort from this, we are simply shifting the focus. But here's where, and this is the really cool part, this is where the magic exists. To move you beyond what you're used to, or the what you're used to zone is, you simply answer this one simple question. You ready, Lori? What is one thing you can do differently? And that's it. What is one thing you can do differently? And voila.
Just one thing.
Just one thing. And as you do that thing differently, you have automatically moved beyond what you're used to zone and therefore shifted into what you're not used to zone, which is what you're really striving for anyway.
Right.
Notice there is almost, if any, zero pressure.
Right.
Zero.
Right.
The concept of going
outside
of your...
Doesn't feel uncomfortable.
It doesn't feel uncomfortable. Exactly. So this totally shifts everything. So once you moved outside of what you're used to zone, if you're up for the challenge, you can then move to the next level. And here's the next level's question that you should ask yourself out loud right now. What is one thing I have never done before that I could do to stretch myself outside of what I'm used to? Quote unquote, what I'm used to. These questions are very serious, and I recommend taking adequate time to consider quote unquote what you're used to and quote unquote what you're not used to. Finally, the following question does arise often. Are there exceptions to this being so black and white, that what you're used to is either rated at a 0 or 100%. For example, is it possible to be somewhat used to? Okay. And the long answer, no.
Oh.
Okay, that's the long answer. If you're in the somewhat used to zone, and this is where it got really funky. So again, you may have to repeat this to yourself. If you're in the somewhat used to zone, this translates to mean what you're not used to. If you are only somewhat used to, then not completely used to, and therefore shift into the what you're not used to state first by doing something that is outside of what you're not used to zone. It's like a Dr. Seuss poem, actually. It's hilarious. So the concept, so that's the article. If you would like a copy, I don't know if you'd want the copy of this
okay,
or not.
Okay, I want you to say the last part yeah. over again.
Okay, though. If you're in the somewhat used to zone, you're somewhat used to something.
Okay. So it's something you haven't done, but you've done it a little bit.
A little bit. And you're somewhat used to it. This actually translates to mean what you're not used to.
Okay.
You're not used to it then.
Right.
It's in this case, it is black and white.
Right.
0 or 100%. It's not 1 to 100. There's a zero in here. Okay. And so if you're in the somewhat used to zone, this translates to me, it translates to mean what you're not used to. If you're only somewhat used to, then not completely used to, and therefore must shift into the what you're not used to state first by doing something that is outside of what you're used to zone.
Okay.
So I had a lot of fun writing this anyway.
I bet you did.
Oh, yeah. And so now I added a little part here. If you had any trouble following this, pass this along to 10 people in the next 10 minutes, and you'll receive 10 people saying, what the bleep does this mean? If you had no trouble following this and are excited to put this new theory into practice, pass this along to 10 people who you think will get it, and you'll receive 10 thank yous for this out-of-the-box method for truly shifting out of what you're used to.
Nice.
Okay? So the significance of this, again, going back to New Year's resolutions, deliberate intentions is we're wanting to create a different outcome. That's the only reason why we have deliberate intentions for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we would just sit back and coast and do what we've always been doing.
Right.
Quote unquote, what we're used to.
Right.
Right. So this is, so I say, throw out comfort zone stuff and look at doing things beyond what you're used to. Notice it takes the emotion out right away. Mm-hmm. As well, there's no emotion there.
Right.
It's simply when I'm used to, logically, and when I'm not used to, logically. So no emotion comes, and the emotion is the barrier. The emotion is what causes the barrier that holds us back from actually achieving any of our resolutions. You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the profound nature of that article of what you're used to and how to go beyond your comfort zone. And hopefully it made sense. And now with that in mind, we can look at your list of 12 areas and ask, what can you do that you're not used to in each of these areas every month?
Right.
So let's use romance, love, and intimacy. Assuming that's your February focus, it doesn't matter, whatever month you choose. What is something you could do differently that you're not used to?
Oh, are you asking me?
This is just a question to consider for everyone. It doesn't have to be you. If you like,
I'm
sure.
I'm trying to think, holy crap.
Right.
Yeah.
So it might be try a dating service.
Right.
If you're wanting to meet someone, it could mean going to Lava Life and giving it a shot. If you've never done it before, you're definitely not used to it. Give it a shot and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Another option, if you're in a relationship, would be to do something that you two are not used to. Maybe it's going on a date.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you have a family, you have kids, it is very likely that you have not been on a date with your spouse in quite a while.
Right. I know couples that actually like plan a date night every week.
Beautiful.
And they should. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And that's deliberate.
Yeah.
So the key is so let's take it to the next level. What can that couple do that does go on dates do that they're not used to?
Right.
On a date. And it actually really spices up the experience,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Kind of like that Four Weddings. Have you seen that movie?
Four Weddings. Four Weddings and a Funeral? That one?
Oh, sorry. No, Four Christmases. What's that? Four Christmases.
Four Christmases. No, I haven't seen that. Haven't heard of it.
Well, it's very cute.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. They play roles and go out in public. And it's very cute. It starts really... Yeah, it would be a way to spice up anybody's dating experience.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you can take this in any direction that
exactly.
you want. In romance, there's no limits, no boundaries. There are some laws. be careful of those. When it comes to, let's say, family, consider what you're not used to doing with family. So, the way to approach this might be to say, this is what we're used to doing. We're used to having dinner together once a week, or we're used to going out to movies once a month, or we're used to having family discussions. Then list what is outside of that.
Right.
Maybe I even just listed off things that you're not used to doing that mm-hmm. you want to include. And then, so again, you can include anything you want. It makes it a lot easier to have just 1 month as the focus. And that way you can also plan ahead and say, okay, everyone, we're making this month family month, or you have to all come together and agree on it. But that's it.
It's interesting because I'm thinking of a time I did a year course with a guru from India. And when he came here, that was the intent, is that each month was a different focus. And that was actually what he did.
Great minds think alike. My name is Guru Joshua. I'm His Holiness, the Guru Joshua. I'm teasing everyone.
Yes.
Yeah, just joking.
That was why the laughter.
Yeah, that's right.
But it could be.
No, you never know. Had some bizarre experiences in that area. So really, when we're looking at these different areas, I think a key is to explore each one, plan it out, have an idea, and come up with really neat ideas on what you can do in that area. So even
and it's just one thing that we have to change?
It's up to you. It's really up to the person. So if, let's say we're talking about your environment, your home and your office. Well, clutter is so significant. In fact, I would actually typically make this number one on the list. I would actually plan January to be this, or December. And that be a time
not
when you...
spring cleaning.
You know, I know, but we... I think we're... It depends. You can actually... We're so used to saying New Year's resolutions, you know, the concept of New Year going from January 1st to December 31st. You can start these anytime.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
But...
And they do say, actually, that it is a good idea to start it in spring. Like when... So when would that be? That would, I guess, be the March 21st,
right?
Which is not an equinox. It's a, is it? No. Yes, it's an equinox. Yes.
Sounds good.
Right. Which means equal time. Like it's,
oh, yeah.
And then the, it's the solstice. So it's equinox and then the solstice. So equinox meaning that it's the beginning of the astrological signs. And spring starts with fire, which is action and passion. And so it because a lot of people associate the winter with like death, you know, it's cold, it's stagnant, it's, you don't do a lot of things. So a lot of people, when they're thinking of that, then a lot of people do it on their birthdays. So there's three different ways to.
Well, you know, the other thing was this year, Mercury was in retrograde up until January 15th, I think.
15th or 16th. Yeah. 15th.
15th. And so that's also a good time to do clearing, you know, clear. So you could even target the Mercury retrogrades, you know, and that could be kind of interesting, you know.
The things we don't want to do.
That's cleaning. Right. Exactly. So this idea of clearing your space, your environment, or sprucing it up or making a change to it could take time. I have a client who she was wanting to build her business. And it turned out she had no office. And I only found that out later. And I said, how can you expect to have a business if you don't have any space for it?
Right.
And so the situation was that her basement was full of clutter.
Right.
And all they had to do was clear out the basement and she could build an office there.
Nice.
So it took them a while, but they started clearing out all the things there, made a space for her. And her business is now moving along much more quickly because she has dedicated space to it.
Right.
So the other thing is just because, and I'm sure if you're listening to this, you're into all this, you understand this concept, just because you're focusing on a different element each month does not mean that that element is not impacting every other element throughout the entire year.
Right.
So if you take the time to clear your space, clear the clutter, make January your focus, I'm going to clear the clutter, I'm going to take all those self-help books out of the corner that are sitting there waiting for me to read them. And I'm going to put them on my shelf with a, and make a little sticky and organize that to remind me to read them. And keep doing that in each room. That is going to make it so much more enjoyable to go into your house and go into your home. So that's something that you can do. You could even break it down to weeks. So week one of January, I'm going to do this. Week two, I'm going to do this room or this quarter of the house and so on.
Yeah.
So you can be as creative as you want with this.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, so that's
of course, we're 3 weeks into January.
I know that it's true. That means you have to catch up. It means the next week and a half are going to be very busy for you. So, don't try to cram it all in though. Okay. So in terms of, I think the next element for us to look into would be some of the questions to consider.
Okay.
And so I do want to do, I think it's important to do a very brief review of 2009, because these three questions that I chose, and I actually now have like 20 of them, these three are very specifically chosen, deliberately chosen for our time today. And you'll see why as we go. So the first one was, what was the biggest risk you took in 2009? So what was the biggest risk that you took? And I didn't need a lot of time to think about this one. It was an event that I had.
Oh, yes.
And it was with four of us on stage. I never coordinated my own event to that degree. And I normally am called by organizations, or you know, I have other people. I'll speak for, you know, at George Brown College or other places, and I'll go in and speak. It's usually organized for me. When I spoke for Learning Annex, I didn't do any of the promotion. It was all done by them. So this is, and I have given events, but not on this scale. Okay, so this is a really novel concept. Still is really cool, and I hope to continue with it in the future. But this was coordinating the whole event myself. It was bringing in four of us on stage and taking care of all four of us, me being one of those people, and getting the promotions going and so on. And so it was a really interesting experience. And I can tell you that I was not comfortable the whole time doing it. It really was me, if we could say, what you're not used to.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely was not used to hardly any of it. And yet I really moved myself to do it anyway. As some say, feel the fear and do it anyway. And so for me, I had no idea how many people would come. I had no idea if it would work. I had no idea if to me, the concept was absolutely genius. But I didn't know if anyone else would think that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had never gone through a run. So four of us were on stage, had never done it together. And yet I risked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is that it's not that the focus is not on the event itself in that way for me. It's that I move beyond what I'm used to.
Right.
And that is a part of how we expand.
Mm-hmm.
By taking steps, even if we're not sure whether there's going to be ground to catch our next step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think for me, it would have been taking the CBS show.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Like, I think that was probably my biggest, because I was the focus of it is purely me instead of me interviewing other people.
Right.
You know, it's really, it does push me out of what I'm used to.
Yeah, absolutely. Good work. You're already applying this. Excellent.
Because, you know, I have to like be 100% prepared to be able to talk for an hour and you know, also be able to make it make sense if I have calls that come in and, you know, interrupt. And so, now that you're thinking, now that you made me think about it, that would definitely be mine.
Absolutely. And this is significant because the more that we allow ourselves to do that, we develop something so significant. I think this is, I would consider this to be one of the major elements to our spiritual evolution living on this planet. And that is a concept of belief. Every time we move beyond what we're used to and we realize that we're okay, the earth hasn't disappeared, we're still here, we develop a certain amount of belief in what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the steps become bigger and bigger of, you know, we take larger steps out of what we're used to. And we become more and more comfortable taking larger and larger steps.
Yeah.
And so that's why this question is the number one question that I had brought out of the 20 questions that I have. So that was one. The second one is actually from David Allen. He's a productivity coach, one of the most well-known in the world. He has a great book called Getting Things Done. It's very practical, down to earth. And he's actually quite spiritual, although you wouldn't know that from this book. Anyhow, I found this question through one of his newsletters. And he asked, what are three of your fondest memories of 2009? Which is kind of a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
And so now I have four. And if you know me at all, you know that almost from everything that I say, there's a lesson, concept, a teaching, a theory, a technique, a tool. They always just come to me out of the blue. And I would say that this three fondest memories, one really is working with my clients. The work that I do on a daily basis through my coaching is, I'm really touched that I, you know, that I work with these incredible people and that they open themselves up to the depth that we reach, because it takes some courage to do that, you know? And I remember when I first worked with a coach, he was a business coach actually. So it wasn't even on personal things. It was on business. I was sweating like crazy. I was, and it was by phone. It wasn't even in person. So I was sharing things with him that I had not shared. I was sharing my business goals, my life goals with him. I had not shared those things with anyone. And so after three sessions, I stopped perspiring enormously around, you know, on the calls and became more at peace. But I really admire my clients who choose to do this, because they are stepping outside of what they're used to every single time we get on the call.
Nice.
And hopefully in between our sessions as well, if any of you are listening. So that's one. A second when I was in high school, this is way back, probably 92.
Okay.
And maybe it's not that way back for some, but for me, it was that back then. In 92, that's the last time I actually biked on a bicycle.
Really?
Yeah. It's true. Okay. And I got my license. I started driving more. Being from a small city in London, you just drove everywhere. So I hadn't biked in that whole time. And then late last year, some good friends of mine, my goddaughter and them, and my close friends, they invited me to go bicycling with them.
Nice.
And we went for like 2.5 hours. And it was fantastic. Besides my butt being sore after this experience and developing some, you know, things on my hands from the brakes, it was a great experience, you know, and the idea of getting back on the bike and being really, it was like I never stopped, but it was just so nice to do that again. You know?
Right.
And lastly was I actually went to California and spoke there at a conference.
Nice.
And it was an amazing group of people, 300, and the workshops went beautifully, and just overall, I love traveling. And so going to I'd never been in California. So got to have some fun experiences in Bel Air, Beverly Hills, and saw Arnold Schwarzenegger. We had a bit of a funny interaction. And so overall, it was just a really fun experience.
It's nice.
Yeah. So those are my top three.
Nice.
Any come to you? I know I'm catching you right in the spur of the moment. A fond memory of 2009. And I should mention, those examples that I gave really have nothing to do with the year, quote unquote, 2009. They just happened to happen. Mm-hmm. They happened to occur in 2009. You know,
I would say, you know, the increase of quality interviews, the way, you know, the way improved and everything, the way the type of people I'm getting, like it's, I think that's, you know, a really fond memory, because I've done some pretty amazing interviews in 2009. So, right. I mean, that's exciting.
I'd be curious, actually, find out if you were to do a survey with those that are listening, if they listened recently, what their top shows were.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be interesting to see.
I would like to do that, actually. Yeah.
And then, you know, to have those guests back.
Yeah. Right. Well, you can sort of tell also by, I mean, I don't know if that's the favorite, but you can tell by the stats.
That's true.
Yeah.
I spoke with my assistant. She saw that every time she clicked on mine, she could increase the I had her click it. No, I'm teasing. We didn't have her do that. I didn't. If I did, we'd be up to 5,000. We're only up to 3, I think. That's another significant question, though, is what are your fondest memories? You always, mm-hmm. I think it's important, you know, people always, the concept of, some people say, do you want to hear the bad news or the good news first? And I always like to end off on the good news.
Right.
And so this kind of, what are your fondest memories, is a way to remember 2009 or the previous year for the great stuff that occurred and what really touched you, you know? Mm-hmm. The last question is, and this is significant specifically to you who are listening to this, is what has shifted in your reality from last year or from the year before?
Right.
What actually shifted? So for Lori, you went from Intuitive Soul to Intuitive Soul plus the new show.
Right.
That's significant. I say it's significant because if your reality is changing, it means something in you changed in order to cause that to occur.
Okay.
Right. This is law of attraction.
Right.
The secret and so on.
Right.
So as you shift, the world around you shifts. And so often it's really useful to look at your environment and see what has changed, because that gives you a clue to show you that something inside of you must have changed as well.
Hmm.
Something in you must have opened up somehow.
Right.
For me, it was the best business year financially as well that I've had in my career. I had many clients who had the same thing. And that's mainly because of a specific coaching program that I offer, that I'm now offering as a workshop that I'll talk about maybe at the end. Yeah. But definitely that was significant to me. And I mean, there are other many examples of other things that have shifted in my life, but this is a key question. And so I definitely recommend taking time to ask and to answer what has shifted in your reality from 2008 to 2009.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And this will require a bit of time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Thought. Yes.
That's right. So those are the three key questions for, and so if you want to do a, even next year, a quick review instead of a something more drawn out, these are the three questions you can ask. And this is really great to share with family around dinner table, to share with your partner in business even, to share with friends at New Year's. I remember when I was in high school, I was doing this kind of thing in high school.
Really?
And on New Year's, I would write down 10 things I was grateful for different people in my life. Aww. And I would share it with them.
Aww.
I know. I was the, you know, out of all the guys, I was considered to be, how do I, what was the term? It flew through my mind. The mushiest, I guess, of them all. Yeah, to me, it was important to honor it, you know? So that's how I was in high school. Still, I'm like that. So that's review. Next is some projection.
Right.
And so these are some key questions. We can maybe put them on the site or make them available.
Okay.
I'm just going to go through them fairly quickly.
Okay.
There's about 8 of them. And if you listened to this last year, you may have heard them, this show. So we'll just go through them one by one. And if we want to answer, we could.
Okay.
Okay. The first one is, what are 10 goals or desires that you have for 2010?
Right.
So what is a goal or desire that you have? Whether you're going to take any action towards it or whether you just want the universe to help you with it, doesn't matter. Right. So what's a desire or goal that you have for 2010? For me, I've got workshops, especially this one coming up in April. And I believe truly in my heart of hearts, it is the underlying teaching of all wisdoms. It is the mechanism that makes all wisdoms work, that makes all tools and techniques work. I've come to a bit of a challenging point in my career, actually, in that now that I've come to this one concept, it makes all the other things that I teach almost null and void, because all you need is this one.
Hmm.
I know, it's almost bizarre. I'm actually so excited about it. I want to attend my own workshop. You know, I've never experienced it like that, but it's kind of weird. It is like I'm outside of myself. What is one goal or desire you have for 2010?
What is one for me?
Sure.
I would say to increase my finances.
Okay, absolutely. And this is a key one too, because the more you have, the more you can do with it.
Sure.
You know, I mean, even here's, you know, we have things like things in Haiti happening.
Right.
And that's not going to be the last one, I'm sure, in the next 10 years.
Well, you know? From what I understand, there are going to be some shifts and changes in the earth. So,
right.
You know, we have to sort of go with the flow. We just,
absolutely.
I mean, not get too resistant to change and
that's right.
You know, try and be in touch with yourself so that you will know whether or not to be there.
Absolutely.
Or if it's going to cause a problem or.
Well, and I don't know if I experienced this in the past when I didn't have funds to contribute to that. I felt bad that I couldn't contribute.
Right.
You know, and we end up being so, feeling so bad for ourselves that we can't contribute to that because we don't have the funds.
Mm-hmm.
So to a certain degree, I think it's significant to make achieving wealth or creating wealth a priority, because it allows you to do more of what you were created to do.
Right.
And so to me, I think that's a great goal. Absolutely. The next one is, what are you willing to see through to creation in 2010? In other words, what are you willing to take an active role in creating in 2010? This is different from the first in that this one will actually involve likely you going out of what you're used to.
Right.
And I'll use the example of this workshop, I call it the Holy Grail of personal growth and spiritual
he keeps
evolution.
Teasing us with this and teasing us with this.
When I first heard the insight that came to me with it came in a shot just like that. And as I heard it, it was like basically my emotions split from my consciousness. And I had a constant stream continue just coming to me, and it didn't stop for a week and a half. Mm-hmm. Every time I'd go to sleep, I couldn't. So I was awake for a week and a half.
Wow.
And then I got sick and then unplugged. And so I came out of that zone, and now I'm able, you know, I'm now back in it, but it was very challenging at the time. I felt like I had the cure for the common cold, didn't know what to do with it, you know, really. And so, so what am I willing to see through to creation is my intention is to really build this and to share this with the world. Absolutely. Right. I have given maybe 2 PowerPoint presentations in my life. And when I had this insight, when that came to me, I had in 30 minutes, I had a full PowerPoint presentation.
Wow.
And I don't usually give PowerPoints. So it's going to take me a little bit to go outside of my what I'm used to zone, out of what I'm used to zone, in order to create that. So I will hire someone to help me with it. I will, you know, find the things that I need to do, even though I'm not used to that. And I am absolutely committed to seeing that through.
Hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
How about you? Is there something that you're absolutely willing to try? Even, I think, especially for listeners to this show, we're very used to, and I would include myself in this, we're used to the universe helping us or asking the universe to help us. And we typically, when we do this, we forget about ourselves in that thing. The universe also includes us.
Mm-hmm.
And so this means, what are we also willing to take part in to create, not just waiting for it to come to us,
right?
Willing to really be engaged with.
Right.
I think you're like that anyway, naturally, with a lot of things.
Yeah.
But
well, I think, you know, what I realized near the end of last year, was that I needed to be able to ask people to help, because I tend to do everything myself.
That's definitely outside of what you're used to.
Yeah. And absolutely. And it's, you know, part of it is a control issue. Part of it is, you know, I don't have the money to pay somebody to do it. Part of it is me feeling guilty asking people to help.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's so many different pieces to that. So this year I've started, somebody's going to be working with trying to get a certain type of advertising that's going to be on the site.
Nice.
It's very new and different, and so that's a piece, I think.
Right.
And but yeah, like opening up and being okay with allowing people to help, but also, you know, not just surrendering, but to really make that, you know, work for me.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Beautiful.
Right.
Okay, next one. What fun, silly, or goofy things would you like to do in 2010? I remember we asked this last year. I typically have a lot of fun in life.
Right.
But I don't usually do things for the purpose of fun.
Right.
Because I already typically have a lot. I mean, I'm laughing often throughout the day. And so I'm usually having a lot of fun, and I'm very silly. You may have seen Austin Powers, where he cracks all these corny jokes. I can't stop doing that. It just comes through me. I actually have to stop myself sometimes.
Oh, no, you're channeling Austin Powers.
I think that's it. Don't tell anyone, baby. So this is a question to consider. What fun, silly, goofy things would you like to do in 2010? I would say list off at least 3 things.
Right.
At least 3.
Right.
Any come to mind right away?
No.
Okay. Well, I know exactly. I know exactly. We'll think about that one. Who would you like to connect with in 2010? Who is someone that you'd like to connect with in 2010?
Huh.
And that's an interesting...
That is an interesting one. I'd like to connect with Greg Braden.
Okay. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Just connect or be on the show?
No, I want him to be on the show.
Okay, great.
I'd like to either end the season in like June or begin the season. And I know that I do have a contact that should be able to help me with that. So
nice. And he is going to be, I think, here in May.
Is that right?
I think the Hay House conference is taking place then.
Oh.
So there you go.
Okay.
Could be something to that. Mental note.
Maybe.
Yeah. Next one. What would you like your finances to look like in 2010?
Yeah, that's a big one.
And you can determine whether you want it to be really, you can be really focused or not. You can get it down to the penny, or you can just say, ultimately, this is what I want my month-to-month minimum to be.
Yeah.
And so on. The next one, what will romance look like for you in 2010? I'm moving my eyebrows. What will romance look like for you? Romance.
Yeah, I think I've decided that by the end of the year, I will be in a committed, spiritual, sexual relationship.
Beautiful. So any lucky guys listening in, we don't want stalkers. Lucky. No stalkers. Only only authentic and clear energy. Add those to the list. Make sure you have those in the list. Okay. That's really important.
Well, the whole spiritual part. That's
Key. That's true.
Yeah.
What will you do differently in 2010? So that's an interesting question just to consider overall. Are you going to do something differently overall? Or are you going to
make what you're not used to?
What you're not used to, exactly. Are you going to, and this is a key one, are you going to make sure that you're as important as everything else? I spoke with a client today. She's incredible, brilliant, but she takes care of everyone over herself. And she's done that for almost her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So she finally came today to this decision that she's now going to start. She's going to have to start taking care of herself.
Right.
She's done an amazing job. She's in great physical shape. She's one of the clearest people that I've met. She's a coach. And however, she has had challenges in other areas. So, so this is really, I think, really important for her. And I think for a lot of people listening in.
You know, I think it's one of the biggest areas that we ignore within ourselves is self-love and self-care.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. Next one. What are your top three priorities for 2010? And this is really key. This is the third last question. And I ask this because we can have a gazillion things that we want to have happen in 2010. Three is a good round number. It's manageable. It's something that we can focus on. And let's assume that one of them is taking care of our health. So one of the things I recommend with priorities like this is to do them first thing in the morning. So every day, take care of your top three priorities, if you can, in the morning. Because then you've got them done throughout the day. You don't, you know, if it's 8 o'clock at night, you're not likely going to go to the gym. Maybe you are, but if you're in a family, you won't.
Well, that's true. And that's always why I always do my walk in the morning and I always do my meditation in the morning because.
So good.
Well, because if I don't, like if it's not the first thing I do, I won't do it.
You won't do it?
I won't do it.
Absolutely. I clean my dishes the night before. So the morning is all clear.
That's nice.
You know, that works. I could clean them in the morning. If I don't do it in the morning, it won't get done throughout the day, right? Right. That's, I mean, simple, funny example. So what are your top three priorities for 2010? If wealth, creating wealth is one of them, then find something you can do in the mornings first thing that will contribute to that.
Right.
Some people invest in Forex. Best thing to do, do it in the morning. Okay. So I think that's an important key.
Mm-hmm.
Next question. What three actions will you take for each priority? So let's say the priority is to develop a better connection with your family, enhance your connection. So what are three things you can do to make it a reality? Maybe one might be to schedule meals once a week where you're together, which is rare these days in North America. Mm-hmm. Another might be to, co-create and ask your kids what they want to do and go with them.
Right.
Okay. So those are some examples. The last question is, and I'm a big fan of affirmations. So this question is, what affirmations will support your intentions for 2010? And I got to tell you, this past year, I've worked with affirmations for years. And this past year, I had the most fun I've ever experienced with affirmations.
Really?
A client of mine and I were talking about affirmations. She came up with the concept of rappermations. And we just had a great time with affirmations. She had thyroid cancer.
Okay.
She wasn't as much into the health field. And this pushed her to get into it, but she had her thyroid removed. Okay. So now this is what she... So as a result of having no thyroid, her hormones have been all over the place. So she's gained some weight and so on. So she didn't feel as sexy. Okay. This is one of the most incredible affirmations, and it was based on the movie Love Guru, because there's a line. Okay,
right.
So the affirmation is, "Damn, I'm sexy," and just she couldn't even say it without laughing.
Right.
You know, and that is a brilliant affirmation for feeling sexier.
Right.
And creating that. You know. Yeah. So that's an example. We can
I've
take
got a, that one down.
Oh yeah, you don't need that one. You don't need that one. That's why I used it. But so that is a great way to create an incredible 2010.
Yeah.
We have questions on reviewing. We have the idea of going outside of what you're used to. And so these are some other, these, I think 10 questions are great ones to ask for creating a beautiful 2010.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, yep. You filled up a whole hour and we need to start the next show, but why don't you tell people how they get a hold of you and talk a little bit about
Sure. So I have this event coming up on Saturday, April 10th. It's called the Holy Grail of Personal Growth and Spiritual Evolution. And it's based on this revelation that occurred. I don't use the term revelation anymore for anything else but this.
Okay.
And it literally changed my life when it happened. I released fears instantly. They just left me all of a sudden. I felt them leave. My income doubled within a month. I've had clients who have taken through the process. All of them had experienced profound shifts in their businesses. And it started 2008, all the way through to this year. Many of them experienced the best business years they've had in years.
Hmm.
And it impacts every area. Anyone who's genius is doing this. Anyone who is who has wealth is using this one concept without realizing it, by the way. And I'm working with, I've worked with many people who've studied many different philosophies and cultures and wisdoms, and not one of them has said that they've heard this. In fact, I had a friend who said to me, "Josh, you should actually not go out, not speak with anyone, and write the book on this as fast as you can."
Right.
And so I'm actually giving it as a workshop, and then I'm going to use that and promote that and maybe turn that into a book.
Cool.
Yeah. So this event on April 10th is a full day. It will be fun, rich, deep. There's going to be interaction. I'll give you a little tip. You're going to wear 3D glasses, which is really funky. And we're going to do a lot of really neat, fun things. And I really believe that everyone who takes this, their lives will change. And the neat thing about this is you don't have to do a single thing. This is the bizarre part about this. It underlies every technique and tool that has ever worked.
Wow.
So that's Saturday, April 10th from 9:30 to 5. It's a full day. It's downtown Toronto, Canada. And the location you'll find out when you register. So that's the Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail.
And that's on my website, www.joshuazuchter.com, which is JOSHUAZUCHTER.com. And you're also welcome to call me directly if you can reach me directly, or my assistant, and that's 416-388-1135.
Awesome. Well, Joshua, it was amazing, and we'll have you back soon.
Sounds great.
All right. Next show.